Hello, Lakeshore listeners, and thank you for tuning in to 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges, host of Midwest Beat, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to kind of blues it up with a little bit of a rock edge. You see, we're going to be talking about a show that's coming tomorrow to the Hobart Art Theater at 230 Main Street in downtown Hobart. It's a tribute to the Allman Brothers. We'll be having a member of, or members, not quite sure yet who's joining us, from the group Midnight Rider, a national touring tribute to the Allman Brothers. But the first hour, we're going to have a good friend, Jeff Massey. He is a Northwest Indiana native. He's toured the world and recorded with the Steepwater Band. He is the primary songwriter, vocalist, and guitarist of Steepwater. He's got a great solo album out. We'll be playing some cuts from that. And the reason Jeff's on the show, well, he's opening up tomorrow for Midnight Rider. I thought the style of music kind of lent itself. So let's introduce you to Jeff Massey's solo work, if you will. This is off his solo album, and it's called Ain't Got Love. It's something that we have to hear.
If you ain't got love, well, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love to lay down on the line. If you ain't got love and you tell yourself you got something, well, you ain't got nothing but a hard time. If you got a girl, take 'em by the hand. If you got a girl, take her by the hand. If you got a girl, make her understand. If you ain't got love, you got nothing but a hard time. Take your man by the riverside. Girl, take your man down by the riverside. Girl, take your man by the riverside. Tell your man you ain't never gonna run and hide. If you ain't got love, well, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love to lay down on the line. Got love and you tell yourself you got something, well, you ain't got nothing but a hard time. If you ain't got love, well, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love, lay down on the line. If you ain't got love and you tell yourself you got something, well, you ain't got nothing but a hard time.
If you ain't got love, you got nothing. Words to live by, and I think the world needs a whole lot of love right now. That's an original tune written by Jeff Massey. As I mentioned earlier, Jeff is the guitarist, vocalist, and one of the primary songwriters of the Steepwater Band, a group that has roared out of Northwest Indiana and toured the world and released several great albums as a band. Jeff recently recorded one that was solo, and it's that's song is from that, Ain't Got Love, and it's it kind of shows some of the songs that we're going to play today, like Collision, wound up being a Steepwater song, but you're going to hear kind of the stripped-down roots version, the way it sounded when Jeff first started writing it. So the reason Jeff's on the show is that tomorrow at the Hobart Art Theater, He will be there along with Midnight Rider. Jeff's going to be doing a solo performance of some of the songs we'll be hearing today on the show. And again, that's a 7:30 show tomorrow, Saturday, October 9th at the Hobart Art Theater. Jeff Massey along with Midnight Rider. Second hour, we'll have some of the guys from Midnight Rider joining us. But right now, I believe Jeff is on the phone. Jeff, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, Tom?
Doing good. I haven't talked to you in a while. We've had this little thing called COVID rear its head and just wanted to catch up with you a little bit and see how things are going and what you've been doing. Now that we're getting through the woods, I know Steepwater's doing some shows again, and you're doing a few of your solo shows. So how are things going right now?
Well, things are good. We had a good summer. We got back into gigging again. We went out and did some gigs out in Colorado and Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and then we did a lot of stuff around here in Northwest Indiana and Chicago area, and just, yeah, getting back to it, playing again. We've hit a few roadblocks with COVID again. I don't know if you heard, our drummer had gotten COVID recently, Joe, and he's getting over that. So that put the brakes on again. So it's like a lot of restarting. We're still trying to get through the woods, as you say, but
right.
But we are playing again. So
now you guys do a lot of shows overseas. You've played all over the world, Eastern Europe, Western Europe. You've been everywhere.
Yeah.
What's it like, coming from Northwest Indiana and the Chicagoland market, and then going over there, and I say you're playing there, you're not just playing little clubs, you're playing festivals, you're playing with some of the big dogs in the music business. Do you ever have to do like a pinch me moment, like, hey, I'm just this guy from Northwest Indiana, how am I here?
yeah, there's been a few pinch me moments like that. We've had some really great opportunities overseas and like you said, playing the festivals and playing with a lot of other great bands. But it just comes down to people like music over there, just like people like music here. There might be a little bit more of an excitement level with some of the promoters and just the fans over there. They're really passionate about music, you know, and they like to come out and support live music. And but I mean, once you get in a rock club, it doesn't really matter whether you're in Poland or Germany or Northwest Indiana. It's still, you're still playing a show and you're on stage and doing your thing, you know?
Right, right. So how did you get into this? I mean, what was it that made you decide, I'm going to be a musician? When did you pick up the guitar? Was that your first instrument of choice? And give us a little Reader's Digest version of how Jeff Massey came to be a musician.
Well, I started playing guitar when I was around 14 years old. Started with piano before that, but didn't really stick with it. Other interests like kind of put that to the side, and I kind of rediscovered music or playing a musical instrument again around age 14. I had a lot of friends that played. My mom played piano around the house. I had older brothers and sisters that were jamming Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin records out of their room, you know. So I just picked it up. There's a couple of friends that I had that were playing around the same time, and just it felt like a really natural thing to me. And I kind of took it over the top and kind of got obsessed with it and did nothing but play through my teenage years, you know, and just learned the instrument, started writing songs, and just haven't looked back. I still love playing guitar today as much as I did back then, you know.
Wow. And you've got a song, a bunch of songs that you have on this solo album. And these are not all Steepwater songs, correct? These are some songs that didn't make it to Steepwater that you felt were better suited for a solo acoustic version?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of both. There's a few Steepwater songs that I kind of wanted to show, you know, like you're saying, like some of the more electric Steepwater songs started out on the acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things like Collision and Ain't Got Love. So I wanted to include songs like that. And then I wrote a couple new ones, Oklahoma Sunrise being one of them, which is not a Steepwater song. It's a thing mm-hmm. I do solo. And then I just threw in a couple of cover tunes on there that I like playing. And when I do a solo acoustic show, there's a lot of songs to choose from. So it was kind of hard for me to narrow it down to one record, but I figured it out. But I got more than what I need, so I've always, you know, contemplated maybe putting out another one.
Okay. I was going to say, I know you're very busy with Steepwater, especially now that things are starting to open up again.
Yeah.
And that has always been your priority. But because this first solo acoustic got some good response, were you thinking of doing another one down the road? And if so, is there any kind of timetable that you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm thinking of it, but I don't really have a timetable as of now because Steepwater's actually, I can't say anything about the actual plan yet, but we're actually in the studio again doing some recording.
Wow.
But, yeah, I think it's something I could do very quickly because I did the album in 3 days. You know, it's an acoustic guitar. You sit in front of the mic and a couple different acoustics, and you just play basically and get the best take. So it's not quite as involved as doing a full band album.
Mm-hmm.
So if I did do another one, I think I could do it very quickly should I decide to do so. Plus, I have leftovers from this record that I would like to see the light of day, you know?
Where did you record this? I remember you telling me when this first came out and you did a gig at the Record Bin, you said you kind of sat in the middle of the room with a bunch of guitars around you and just kind of went with what felt good.
Yeah, I went to Chicago at a studio called Shirk Studios.
Okay.
And I used... the engineer was Colin Sythus, who's a friend of ours that has engineered and helped produce a bunch of Steepwater records. And yeah, they have a great live room there. And I had about 4 or 5 different acoustic guitars with me, some that I had borrowed. So I had some vintage ones that were laying around the studio. And Colin used, you know, even though it was just me acoustic, we used different microphones and different guitars just to get a few different textures on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just get the same sound throughout. And I thought it worked out really well. I went in there for about 3 days, and then we just went through the takes, and then we mixed it and put it out.
All right. Now, these are new recordings. You mentioned about, like, Collision. We're gonna play that to kind of show the Steepwater fans how this sounded. This is not the original version you demoed. This is a new version, but it's just you.
Right, right. And if you hear any second guitars on the acoustic record, I did a couple overdubs here and there where I might have put a solo.
Okay.
And to be honest, I can't remember if I did that on Collision or not. I'll have to hear.
We'll find out. Let's do it. This is Solo Jeff Massey and Collision, a song that later made it to a Steepwater album, but this is the new acoustic version from his recent album.
How to get back home. Turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet and my soul to let go. When I was helpless, yes, you turned away. John heading straight on your way. And now between us, yeah, there ain't nothing left to say. Just like two love trains that wander through the day. Turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet and my soul to let go. Thank you. There's a collision everywhere that I go. That string of bad luck collides with all I know. It's no coincidence, it ain't no show. There's a collision everywhere that I go. Turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet and my soul. Turn down the lights for me. Let me go down slow. I got my maker to meet and my soul to let go. My soul to let go.
Tasty stuff. That's the way it sounded when he created it. Of course, a lot of the Steep Water fans know it from 2006 and the Revelation Sunday album, which was the first for Diamond Day Records, if I'm not mistaken. That was a big album for you guys, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, that was. That's still one of our more popular ones, it seems, among fans of the band. It was a period where we had just lost a member. Mike Connolly had decided to leave the band, and we went from being a four piece to a trio. So like there was a certain kind of anxious energy there. Like, can we pull this off being a trio again? And we had a new batch of tunes we were excited about, and pretty much recorded that thing live for the most part. So yeah, there's definitely a certain raw energy and sound to that record. It's a little different than our other records, for sure.
And that got you a lot of airplay. I remember when that first came out, we had a ton of requests for songs from that. Dharmakaya, the previous album, did very well. That was when it kind of established you as a major act. And that's when you started, I think, touring a lot. But it was 2006 Revelation Sunday that really kind of put you guys on the map. Now, you got six albums under your belt as Steep Water Band. I noticed that most of the time the songs are credited as written and arranged by the Steep Water Band as a whole entity. And I know that you are a primary member of that and that you write a lot of that. How does it work within the Steep Water Band when you, as a songwriter, bring it in? Like say, Collision, which we just played. You wrote that, you did the acoustic demos, took it to the band. At that point, what's the process?
Yeah, well, a song like that, in several of our songs, I always write the lyrics, but a song like that, I wrote, you know, the melody, the lyrics, the song, and the arrangement.
Okay.
And I'll bring it to the band, and I'll ask their opinion, and they'll be like, I wouldn't change a thing about that, and we'll just do it like that. But, you know, as far as, like, the bass and the drum parts, I might have an opinion here and there. I might write a bass line once in a while, mm-hmm. but we've always kind of let everybody come up with their own parts. You know, I'm not standing around going, now you do this and you do that. So it's always worked better for everybody to come up with their own parts. And that's how we create our sound. And then, you know, we have other songs where, you know, somebody else in the band might write a piece of music and it's up to me to put a melody and lyrics on it. And then there might be another song that just came out of all of us jamming, like an improv thing. So we decided a long time ago that we were just going to split the writing credits and not hem-haw over who wrote what, because it's a band.
Right.
And when you get into things like getting songs placed in movies and commercials, and which we've had, and they end up using a song that somebody wrote in the band and somebody else doesn't have credit on it, and some guy's getting money, and so, you know, it just creates a lot of problems, a lot of drama that we don't need. We're a band. We decided to be a band, so we split everything.
Right. You guys are like brothers. I remember seeing you rehearse and going to the old band house in the early days, and it's just like, it's just so casual. I mean, I know you're dedicated and serious, all of you, to the band, but it doesn't look like work when you guys are together, whether you're on stage yeah. or whether you're rehearsing. It just seems like here's a bunch of guys having a good time and they're creating some great stuff. Is that the general outlook and attitude of everyone?
Yeah, I mean, we're all into the music heavily, and even the older we get, we're even more into it. Obviously, there is a lot of hard work behind the scenes with travel and you know, getting together to rehearse and you know, loading into gigs, loading out. There's a lot of behind the scenes work, but it's all about, you know, being able to do what you love and actually make a living at it, which is amazing. We're grateful for that. Yes, it's a love of the music that kept it together this long.
Okay. Now, when you're doing the solo shows, how hard is it to replicate or create or adjust the arrangements on a song that maybe people know from Steepwater, to actually strip it back down to the acoustic one-man kind of performance? Do you have to kind of get into a different zone for that?
It's different. I mean, there's nothing to hide behind, you know, the mistakes you're going to own.
Right. I guess that's true. Can't point fingers.
Yeah, there's no one else to blame. So you're just up there doing your thing. I there's pros and cons. I can't say I like one more than the other. I love playing solo acoustic, but I love playing with a band too. So, but I like the challenge of it, and it really exposes whether the song is strong enough. You know, because, you know, the old cliche, if it doesn't work on acoustic guitar, it's probably not that great of a song. There's some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also cool if I'm up there by myself and I decide to do a part longer, if I decide to go off on a tangent, do this solo a little longer, throw this part in, I can do it and I don't have to direct any traffic except with myself. You know?
Right, right. So with the solo shows, how many on average would you say you do compared to the Steepwater shows? Is that just a changing algorithm depending on what's going on with the band?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, the band is probably 90% more shows with the band. I kind of just do the acoustic shows when they pop up. And when they pop up, I'm all about it, but I don't really seek a ton of those out just because the band's playing. So, you know, when you gave me a call about doing this show Saturday and we happened to be off, I'm like, oh, that's perfect. You know,
mm-hmm. They
just kind of pop up here and there. And I got another one at the Chicago City Winery later in the month. And both of those just kind of popped up and worked in the schedule. But for me to like really book a bunch of solo acoustic shows, the band would probably have to be on some kind of a hiatus or something. I just kind of dance around our schedule and book them whenever I can.
Okay. Well, for the show that's tomorrow at Hobart Art Theater, what do you got planned? You're going to do between 45 and an hour, I know that, but are you going to play primarily the stuff off of this CD that we're playing today that came out about a year and a half ago, or are you going to debut some of the songs that you're working on for the next one?
You know, that's the thing with the acoustic thing. Sometimes I go up there with no set list at all and just kind of wing it. But I think I'll probably do at least three or four from the acoustic record, maybe more, you know, and then whatever I'm feeling, you know,
that's
the beauty of the solo thing. I can be up there and I can, you know, think, oh, this song's not going to work right now. I'd rather play this. And again, it's just me, so I got nobody to argue with about it.
Right, right. So how has the response been from the Steepwater fan base on the solo stuff? It seems like they've really embraced this album as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't do a vinyl on it. I did CDs, and, you know, in the world we live in today, it seems like most people are accessing the record digitally.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to CD Baby and look at what's going on, you know, a lot of people are getting it digitally. So the only time I really sell hard copies of it is when I do a show like tomorrow or something. It seems like a good response. But yeah, overall, I think the people that are in the Steepwater band like the acoustic record as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. So will you have copies tomorrow for sale?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Now, with the last Steepwater album, Turn of the Wheel, you guys did vinyl again. You had done vinyl earlier in your career, but you did vinyl. And you also did CD and, of course, digital, as you mentioned. How has the vinyl been selling? Because I'm a big proponent of vinyl music, and I know it's expensive. And a lot of artists say, I don't know if we want to take the risk. So here's a band that has put the vinyl out, and not cheap vinyl. This is a nice gatefold album. double record thing. They got all kinds of great records or songs on it, and the graphics on it are. You put a lot of money and time into this, so was it worth the investment to do vinyl? Would you do vinyl again?
Yeah, it is worth the investment. People seem to, you know, the hardcore music lovers that are really coming out to the shows, a lot of them are still buying vinyl. And we've done vinyl, I think on our last three, we did Shake Your Faith on vinyl,
mm-hmm.
Turn of the Wheel on vinyl, we had the Diamond Days record on vinyl, Live and Humble. So yeah, I can't see us stopping vinyl anytime soon. Yeah, so I would think that's going to be a process we're going to keep doing. And, you know, they keep saying CDs are outdated too, but there's a lot of people out there that still like buying CDs. So as long as we're playing live, we're going to have both available, you know.
Right. Well, as long as they keep, you can still get cars that have CD players. I know the new ones, you can't get it anymore. You can't even order them. We just got a car, and it's like we had to buy an older one just to have a CD player in it.
Yeah, I know it. That's when I listen to them when I'm driving my Honda.
Yeah, it's great.
I went into S&J Records not too long ago, and I don't know how it is, you know, at your record store. You probably have a lot of people that buy vinyl, but he was saying over there, I need more CDs. I got my clientele is all CD people.
Really?
Like, really?
I would not believe that. I know usually when I would go in there, Jim's like, you know, up to his shoulders in vinyl.
Yeah, I know it. And I was like, well, really? We got vinyl? He's like, I need more CDs. I got a lot of guys who like CDs. I'm like, okay. So I guess CDs are not quite completely out of style yet. They're hanging in there.
Wow. See, with us, it's kind of the opposite. We sell more vinyl than CDs. We actually sell cassettes almost as much as we sell CDs, which I
really?
Find
cassette,
really
huh?
strange. Yeah, I find that odd. You know,
well, it's analog, you know, it's tape.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't age as well. CDs can last pretty much forever. Vinyl, if you take care of it. Cassettes, you get the dry rot and everything else, and the wheels stick and the caspins stop, and you know it's more of a dinosaur kind of piece. But I don't know, if someone wants it, we'll sell it. That said, any Steepwater or Jeff Massey cassettes in the plans?
No, but maybe you're making us reconsider here.
All right, very cool. Let's play another tune. Do you want to do one off the new Steepwater, or do you want to do another one off your solo?
Whatever you would like to play is fine with me.
Well, I got them both queued up. One of my favorite songs that you've written is Abandoned Ship. Now, we've got both versions. We've got the acoustic, which is track 7 on the solo, and then we've got it toward the end here on the Steepwater album, which I think is the second to the last. I'm looking at the album, but they're not numbered.
Yeah, we decided after the fact, after I put the acoustic record out, I think the guys liked that one. They're like, we should do that one with the band. And I was like, we gave it a shot, and it came out pretty cool.
Okay, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we do the Abandoned Ship from the band?
All right.
Jose's looking at the album and figure out what the track is here, because, again, they're not numbered. Let's go second to the last. I think that's the one here. All right. Are we good? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Abandoned Ship, that's the Steepwater Band version off their latest album, Turn of the Wheel. There's a great acoustic version on Jeff's album. Tell me you're going to play that tomorrow.
Okay, I guess I can commit to that.
I love that song. I mean, I love all those Steepwater albums. I've been a fan since you guys were just getting started, but there's something about that song that just takes me away. I love that song.
All right, then I will play it. No problem.
I appreciate that. that goes as the creator and the executor of the songs. You write it, you record it, you perform it. How do you know when a song has become the best it can be? When not to tweak it? When not to change it? Or do you? Is it a living entity to you as a writer that when you play it, you always adjust it, like Dylan does? Dylan never plays anything the same way. How? What's your outlook on that?
Yeah, you're right. It is like an entity, and once it's recorded, I just kind of look at it as a moment in time, and that's the way the song sounded on the day we recorded it.
Okay.
Because, you know, we'll put an album out, and sometimes a song will find its way months down the road from playing it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll see, like, a YouTube video or something, and I'll be like, wow, we are playing that song half the speed of the record. Or, wow, we're playing that song twice as fast as the record. Like, the song found its way and settled in. Doesn't mean I don't like the recorded version. It's just sometimes things naturally change as you play it, you know, because sometimes when you record a song, it's brand new, and you don't know what's going on with it yet. But you have to draw a line at some point and just put it out. You know, I hear about people that they're in the studio, and they're like, yeah, we've been in there for a year. We keep going back, and this isn't right. I mean, we can't operate like that. We, you know, it's a rock and roll band. It's gonna have it's gonna be rough around the edges. So
right.
We try not. I mean, we want it to be good, but you know, we try not to overanalyze. You know,
right? You don't want to have a Chinese Democracy album. How many years was that?
And we don't have that kind of budget.
Right. Right.
4 years of studio time. Right.
Now, you recorded, what's interesting is this new album, Turn of the Wheel, was actually recorded here in Northwest Indiana, and as opposed to some of the other stuff you guys have done, and the quality of this album is as good or better than anything you've done. Let's talk a little bit about the production in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, well, you know, we had done Revelation Sunday with Joe Winters, our drummer's brother, Jim Winters.
Okay.
And he was getting into recording kind of as a hobby, I suppose. And he got a really good sound on Revelation Sunday. It was raw. He grabbed all the tones. You know, super smart dude. So when he gets into something, it's going to be good, you know. And then
right.
Fast forward all these years later, he worked with all these producers, went all, you know, all these different places to record. And Joe says to me, you know, my brother's upgraded gear over the years. He's really getting into recording again. He's really been studying it. We should go over there and see what things sound like. And you know, he's got a nice little home studio going on. And when we heard what was coming off the speakers, we're like, man, we could just make records here. Jim's into it.
Right.
Sounds as good as anything we've done. You know, he's got the right mics. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do Pro Tools. He's into it. So... yeah, right now that's home for recording. We think it's going great there, so we're going to continue to record there for now.
Good. You mentioned another album in the works. I know you can't really talk about it, but are we close to being done? Are you just getting started?
We're not just getting started. But Joe and I got together during, you know, we're still during COVID, unfortunately, but really around April or so when things were starting to tame down a little bit.
Okay.
And we did something we never do. Me and him went and recorded drums and guitars with like 7 songs just to see how it would come out. And it came out really good, and we've been sending tracks to Eric, our other guitar player, who has a home studio, and he's been adding to it. And then we brought Joe Bishop, our bass player, in. He's been adding to it. And now... next week again, I'm going over there to add to it. So usually we prefer to be in a room, all 4 of us playing the tracks live.
Right. That's how I remember you recording. So this is a whole new environment for you guys.
Well, it's because of COVID. You know,
right.
We were still keeping distance. We only wanted a couple of us there. So now we can get in a room together again. But there's going to be, I can't say a release date or anything, but there's going to be at least 6 or 7 songs that were recorded that way.
Wow.
And when I listen to it, it doesn't sound like it was recorded that way. It sounds like we're in a room together. Maybe because it was just me and Joe grooving together, and we've been playing together so long that it actually worked. So I can't say we would go out of our way to record like that again.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be working.
Now, Eric's been with you, I want to say 10 years now?
Since 2012, I believe.
Well,
yes.
Pretty close then.
Yeah.
How do you guys divide up? Because you both play lead, you both play rhythm. How do you divide up who gets what? I know a lot of times when there's two lead guitar players in a band, it's sometimes a push and pull. Sometimes it works great, and other times there's always seems to be a little tension. So how do you guys make it work?
Well, Eric's about the most easygoing guy you're going to find. You know what I mean? And he understands what a song needs, and I'm the same way. So, I mean, it's definitely a guitar band. There's a lot of lead guitar, but we really try not to fall into that, okay, you take a lead, I take a lead, you take a lead, I take a lead, you take on every song.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of songs that do that, but, you know, once in a while there's a song where Eric's just like, I'm just going to play rhythm on this. You take a lead. We have, you know, a song where there's a couple songs where there isn't really a lead or it's more of a rhythmic thing. Or there'll be a song where I'm like, you take the lead. But we try to avoid the same structure with every song.
Right.
So we do analyze that a bit just because we don't want it to get redundant, you know?
Right. And he does play some pretty tasty lap steel from time to time.
Well, and that's another great thing, too, is you got the option with the lap steel on certain tunes. And, you know, another great thing is Eric sings harmony, and then Joe Bishop now being in the band. That's another element we're dabbling with is we've got, you know, some three-part harmonies on some songs, which we were never able to do in the earlier Steepwater days.
Now, Joe Bishop just came on board, I want to say, during the recording of the latest album, or was he there for the whole thing?
About a year before the pandemic hit.
Okay.
He joined the band, and we were going strong, and we were touring, and then, you know, the pandemic hit.
Right.
But about a year before that. So, yeah, he's actually been in a couple of years now, even though there's been, you know, some heavy downtime.
Right. But he is featured on this new album that we're playing, the new band.
Oh, yeah,
album.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because
I know his picture's there, and sometimes, you know, if the project's already started, they're only on part of it or whatever, but I know he came in about that time, so
yeah,
I wanted
to
clarify that.
Yeah, he's on the album 100%, yep.
And he's another Hoosier. He's from Indiana.
Yeah, he lives out in the South Bend area.
Wow, that's a bit of a commute for you guys when we want to record.
It is, yeah. Sometimes there's some hoop jumping involved.
Well, let's, I know you've got things to do. I'm going to let you go. Let's play something from the solo album again. What do you want to play?
Oh, how about Oklahoma Sunrise?
All right, that is track number 3. Is there a story behind this one?
Yeah, that song was kind of inspired, you know, as cliche as travel songs can be. I remember this popped into my head. I was listening on the radio to a Billy Corgan interview, and he said, God, I'm so sick of travel songs. The bands always write these cliche travel songs. I mean, isn't there enough of them? And so just to be a smartass, I went home and wrote a travel song.
I love it. Did you send it to Billy?
No.
Wow.
But it was like, well, this is another travel song. Oh, well.
How do you like travel? I mean, you know, you are setting up family now and doing things, and you guys are all reaching a certain age where life is kind of, you know, priority as well as your music. So you're on the road a lot. How do you guys deal with the travel? Because you are gone a lot.
We just try and pick and choose our battles, you know, pick and choose what we want to do. You know, if there's a long period of travel, we try to have a little time off afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's something you gotta do if you want to tour behind records, you know.
Right. Did you tour behind this one, Turn of the
not
Wheel?
Not really, because we put it, if COVID hit right, we were already taking pre-orders and everything shut down, like, right then. And we made a decision just to go ahead and, if you're talking about Turn of the Wheel or the solo.
Yeah, no, Turn of the Wheel.
Yeah, we decided to just put the record out anyway. And so really didn't start doing shows behind it till this year. because okay. we didn't want to sit on the record for a year, you know, just because of COVID. We're like, just put it out. People want it, they can listen to it at home, and they'll have to wait a year to hear it live. You know?
Right, right. And you guys are out there working again. And how are things? I know you do a lot of overseas, as we mentioned. Are you looking at that yet, or is it still too premature with the COVID situation in other countries?
Next year, we're looking at
22.
We had in 2020, we were supposed to go to Spain and play a big festival. We were supposed to tour the UK and go up into Scotland, and we were supposed to go back to Poland and Eastern Europe, and it all got canned. Obviously, but we decided any rescheduling would be 2022. I know there's bands over there doing it right now, and they're pulling it off. But we were just trying to. We didn't want to have to go through the rigmarole of canceling anything or,
right,
or being worried about any breakouts while we're over there. So yeah, we're just 2022 for any of that.
And outside of the country tours, you need your work visas and all that, and that's a mess too to go through if you got to reschedule.
Yeah, it's just rescheduling is kind of a nightmare for everyone involved. So
okay,
we're just trying to be safe, rather be safe than sorry, and hopefully this thing's even more under control then, you know.
Right.
By next year.
One last question. We'll get to that road song and let you go. And that is, not only did COVID hit, not only was everything turned upside down, release dates stopped and things like that, recording remotely, you guys also lost your longtime manager, Steve.
Yeah.
How did that impact the release of this album? Was he privy to having heard it before he passed, or was he involved with this, or was this something you guys kind of had to step up and do, like when Brian Epstein died and the Beatles said, what are we going to do? We're going to move forward.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to remember time frames as far as, I'm sure that he had heard a few of the songs that were in the works.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we dedicated the album to him just as kind of a tribute to him. Cause you know, Steve was all, you know, anybody outside of the band that would have an opinion that we would actually listen to besides the producer would be Steve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a song. I don't know. We have a song called The Stars Look Good Tonight.
Right.
And Steve walked in the studio one day, and Steve's not a musician. But he's like, I had a dream, and you got to put this slide melody on there, and it kind of goes like this.
Wow.
And I was like, are you kidding me? He's like, no, just do it. And we put the slide part on there. I'm like, oh, it's perfect. He's like, I dreamed that. That's it. Perfect.
Wow. That goes back a number of years, doesn't it, that song?
Yeah. Wasn't so that he was always.
The EP, I think it was on, 2009 or 10?
Yeah. Or he would call me in the middle of the day, like, randomly, and be like, I'm listening to this guitar track, and there's not enough fuzz. You need more fuzz. So
was he a musician himself, or is he just
a fan?
He's
not a musician, just a music lover. Like,
wow.
Really listened. Like, he might as well have been a musician.
Right.
You know, so yeah, he was, you know, obviously we dedicated the album to him, and we would have loved for him to be involved with the final result, but unfortunately, you know, he passed, but we're always thinking about him, and he did a lot for the band. I mean,
yeah.
Since he's passed, I mean, we haven't really had a formal manager. Joe and I have kind of been managing the band since then, because it's really hard to find somebody who's going to be that involved and have you in the best interest, you know?
Right, right. And I'm sure you learned enough watching and working with him over the years that you can kind of step into those shoes a little better than an outsider would.
A little bit, yeah. It's just, it's a lot of... It you know, Joe has really grabbed the reins on that too the past couple of years, and I don't know if it's something we'll continue to do. We might seek management again at some point, because it does consume a lot of time that doesn't have anything to do with music.
Okay.
You know.
Right. Well, Jeff, go ahead.
How much for this, and be there then, and all that. And we do have a booking agent involved with our band, which is also a huge thing. Been on Intrepid Artists for 10 years now. So mm-hmm. If you got somebody doing that, it makes a giant difference. Because back in the day, Steve would not only manage the band, he was booking the gigs too.
Wow. Yeah, big shoes to fill. And you guys seem to be doing a pretty good job. So kudos to you and Joe especially for picking up the slack and keeping it going and moving forward. I can't wait to hear some of the new songs, and we'll bide our time because you were kind enough to give this to us when we could have waited. A lot of bands put off the release. I had a lot of interviews where they said, no, we're going to hold off for 6 months or a year so we can tour behind it. And I thought it was kind of refreshing that you guys said, no, we're just going to put the music out there and let people hear it, and we'll have time to tour later.
Exactly, so, yeah. We didn't want to sit on it.
Right. Well, we're going to play some more songs after you shuffle off, but we're going to do the Oklahoma Sunrise off the solo album now. We'll see you tomorrow. Your show starts, I think, 7:30, and again, as long as you do Abandon Ship, I'll be a happy camper.
All right. I'm looking forward to it, Tom. I appreciate the interview.
Thank you. Keep up with Steepwater at steepwaterband.com, or just steepwater.com, actually. And Jeff and Steepwater both on Facebook. So keep up with them and any changes and any updates on the album and the tours. And just support local music. And that's what it's all about. Jeff Massey, along with Midnight Rider, tomorrow, October 9th at Hobart Art Theater, 230 Main Street, downtown Hobart. 7:30 start time with Jeff, followed by Midnight Rider. There are tickets still available and limited VIP packages, too. So we'll be able to you'll be able to purchase Jeff's album tomorrow at the merch booth and, again, show support. So this is it. This is new Jeff Massey from, his first solo album, An Oklahoma Sunrise. Stay with us. We'll be playing some more Steepwater and another Jeff song as we get ready to talk to some of the guys from Midnight Rider.
Oklahoma sunrise hung up on the road, counting every mile through the wind and through the cold. I see the crystal daylight frozen on the ground, winter in the headlights blowing on the rain. And I'm 1,000 miles from my hometown. I'm on the move and homeward bound. Texas in the evening sure have got me down. You feel a little warmer, but still I miss the sound of my girl laughing, even through the tears, smiling through the heartache, fighting through the fear. And I'm 1,000 miles from my hometown. I'm on the move and homeward bound. No one could ever know how much the love can grow from the highway to the shore. And your voice sounds good to me. You can call me anytime. I love to know your mind. Oklahoma sunrise, keep my heart intact. On the icy road to freedom, sliding our way back. The trip is getting longer, the songs are staying loose. Sometimes we are gypsies who slipped out of the noose. And I'm 1,000 miles from my hometown. I'm on the move and homeward bound. No one could ever ever know how much the love can grow from the highway to the shore. And your voice sounds good to me. You can call me anytime. I love to know your man. I love to know your man. I need to know your man.
Dedicating that to stepped on the guitar there. Dedicating that to Billy Corgan. Another road song, Oklahoma Sunrise. That's the solo acoustic Jeff Massey CD. And he's got another one, he says, in the works. He's got some leftover tracks plus some new stuff he's been working. I love acoustic music. I love Steepwater Band, but I love hearing the Roots kind of sound on these. What a player. I've had the opportunity to see Jeff Massey play a couple of times solo, and I got to recommend it. I love acoustic music, as people of listeners of the show know, but there's just something about Jeff's performances that's so organic and so soulful. And he was generous on this solo album. I mean, a lot of artists give you 10 tracks or 9 tracks. He gave us a full dozen. And we're going to play another one in just a bit. But let's play the song that Jeff was talking about, that his manager, or their manager, Steve, commented on and liked. Let's go back to, let me figure out when this was, about 2010, I think it was. And it's a single on their Diamond Day Records label called The Stars Look Good Tonight. Now, Jeff's got a great solo version that I was going to play, but since he told us the story about how Steve added some comments and suggested some things that they did, we're going to play the band version. So let's go back to 2010 and The Stars Look Good Tonight. Stay with me. Members of Midnight Rider joining us in just a bit, but we will get to one more solo Jeff after this one.
Contempt and disgrace. I will find wrinkled and torn. We could never expect this kind of pain when we're born. And the stars look good. The stars look good. It rusts in the rain. With the edges dull, the fruits never came. We'll be alright. Let's not seek blame. Abandon the sad display and get ahead of the game. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight. They look so good. Smiles, whatever path you choose, with
class and with style. Honey can open doors, pick a lock made of stone. If we stay in the moment, we'll never feel alone. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight. The stars look good, the stars look good tonight.
That's the band version, Steepwater Band, of The Stars Look Good Tonight. That's one of the songs that's on Jeff's solo album. It closes it out. Another one of my favorites. Hopefully he'll play that, but I'll be happy as long as he does Abandoned Ship. Like I said, I love that tune, and he does such a great job with the solo acoustic stuff. Again, if you're going to see the show tomorrow at the Hobart Art Theater, again, this is the tribute to the Allman Brothers with Midnight Rider and special guest Jeff Massey of Steepwater Band. If you're going to go, do not be fashionably late. Jeff Massey's worth the price of the ticket alone. I got to tell you, he is remarkable. And anyone that knows the Steepwater Band or knows Jeff or has seen either of them know what I'm talking about. These guys do Indiana proud. Most of the guys are from Indiana and the region here. But they are now, we can claim them, but we can't own them because they are international. And the new album is called Turn of the Wheel from the band. And you'll be able, you might be able to pick up copies of some Steepwater stuff. I don't know, but Jeff said he will have his own album there. And you can get a copy of that with The Stars Look Good Tonight. So for more details or to order your tickets, go to brickartlive.com. That's www.brickartlive.com. Tickets are very reasonable compared to other shows featuring some of these members. And there are VIP packages available, too. And while you're out there, make sure you stop by over at the Record Bin and say howdy. I'll be over there, and I bet some of the guys are going to be there hanging out, too. So we'd love to see you. Yes, indeed, we would. Coming up in just a bit, we'll have Jeffrey from the Midnight Rider Band joining us. But at this point, we're going to go back to a song that originally was heard in 2016 from Steepwater Band on their Shake Your Faith album, which was the album before Turn of the Wheel. But we're going to give you the acoustic version that Jeff gave us on his solo album. This is Mama Got to Ramble. Don't you ramble anywhere. Midnight Rider coming up. Riding high,
whole world come undone. She went looking for the one. When you're running fast like a broken dam, after all you've done, you done all you can. Mama got to ramble.
Mama got to ramble. Yes, indeed she does. That's off the Shake Your Faith album when you want the band version. But that version we just played is off Jeff's solo acoustic, and maybe that's one he'll play. You never know. He's going to be on stage about an hour tomorrow. And again, that's at the Hobart Art Theater, 230 Main Street in downtown Hobart. And he'll be opening the show for Midnight Rider, a tribute to the Allman Brothers. Those guys are an international touring group, or not international, but national touring group that does a tribute to the Allman Brothers. I believe it's an 8-member band. We're going to have Jeffrey from the band talking with us in just a few minutes, but get there early. Don't miss Jeff Massey. You'll kick yourself if you walk in at the end of his show and you're going to say, I can't believe I missed this guy. Trust me. Trust Uncle Tom. And we will be wanting to do some more Jeff Massey shows, definitely. Steepwater Band, new music forthcoming, no details. And Jeff Massey, new music forthcoming, his next acoustic album hopefully soon. All depends on how the COVID situation turns out, the touring situation turns out, and life in general. But check those guys out. I can't stress enough, you're a music lover. Go check them out at steepwater.com or Steepwater Band on Facebook or Jeff Massey. That's S-S-E-Y on Facebook. And if you haven't already discovered these guys, do so. They are Northwest Indiana residents or natives. Some are still residents, some are natives, living in Chicagoland now, but good stuff.